John 20, 19 through 22, from the ESV translation. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord.
All right, y'all may be seated. All right, a lot of new faces. It's good to see everyone this morning. Just to help us out here, we like to talk back here. Amen? All right, so it's been quiet last few weeks, and I know it's been good because people have told me it's been good, but it's been quiet, so I was confused. So I need to hear, like, if that's good, say, "Oh, that's good," you know, or amen. Now, if you're like me, you grew up Baptist, that's a stretch, so you got to go maybe, Maybe, but just start. Is a gateway to amen. And say, that's good. Or even, look, you could even go like this, a little head nod. Well, that's even something, you know what I mean? That's something. All right, so participation, not just observation, amen? Participation. So we're in the middle of a series. This is week 3 on the mission. And I love the beginning of the year because it's an opportunity to re-engage our hearts, realign what we're doing to the purpose of God and the mission of God. And so week 1, if you missed week 1, that's okay. I'm going to tell you what it's about. Week 1 was about the Father's love. This is the engine. This is the core, the motivation of God's mission. Because when we talk about mission this morning, we're not talking about GCF's mission. We're talking about God's mission. God is on a mission, praise the Lord. God is on a mission, and he's inviting us into that. Now, the Father's love is the thrust. It's the heart. It's the engine of the mission. We are on mission because God loves the world. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." God loves the world, and that's the heart of mission. Then last week, we looked at the very crux, the very purpose of Jesus' coming was the cross. Every part of God's mission runs through the cross. There is no mission apart from the cross. All of the Old Testament points to the cross. All of the New Testament points back to the cross. It's about Jesus hung between heaven and earth for your and our sins, risen from the dead to prove he was the Son of God. And then this morning, week 3, we're going to talk about the Spirit's power. Can y'all say that? The Spirit's power? Amen. Now, researchers tell us that as of January 18th, if you made a New Year's resolution, half of you have already fallen off. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just telling you what researchers say. Okay? Now, by the end of this month, it'll be 75%. And by the end of the year, there will be 1 in 10 standing, which means there's like a 90% failure rate. Right? But look, if you made it 30 days, praise the Lord. Good job. You're in the top 25%. You get a B. Now, we look at that and we look at our ability to keep our commitments, our ability to kind of stay in lockstep with what we say we want to do. And then we look at the disciples, those who saw Jesus rise from the dead. 100% success rate. They made it to the end. Now, some of those were sprints. James died within months. But others, the Apostle John, to the end of his life. Ne'er one pulled aside, was diverted from the purpose of God. How did they do it? How did they make it to the end? Now, we're talking about the apostles. What about us when we say, you know what, I want to live my life on mission? How do we stay on course? How do we keep on that road, and how do we make it? We see here in our passage this morning that the key, can we pull that up? The key is to understanding that we are sent by God. Just as the Father sent me, Jesus said, I am sending you. We are sent. And if we're going to understand that sending, not only must we understand that we are sent, but we got to understand that we're sent just as the Father sent the Son. Which begs the question, how did the Father send the Son? Now, a friend of mine, I was at a conference a few years back, and I ran into a friend of mine. He's a Division I athlete of a major university, so he's seen some things. He was not easily impressed, but he pulled me aside. He says, dude, I was at this conference, and the guy who puts kind of this conference on, he puts a lot of these conferences on, and he gets special treatment here at this particular hotel. And he even puts a pin on his kind of shirt so that anybody in the hotel sees this guy. This guy gets the royal treatment. He's called an ambassador when he's there. And so he walks around the hotel and, you know, they cater to him. They ask what he needs. Everybody who works on staff there acknowledges him, comes up to him, makes sure he's taken care of. And so my friend said, this guy gave me his pin. And so for 24 hours, I've been walking around this hotel. I get anything I want. I walk around the lobby. People see me from distance. They're running up to me. Do you need anything? Are you okay? I'm like, and his wife is over there. It's, you know, it's exhausting. You know, he is loving it too much. You know, he's like, I got the pen, baby. I got the pen. And so he's walking around. He gets the royal treatment. And it's interesting because there's nothing special about this guy. He didn't book the hotels. He didn't do the work. Nothing. He just has the pen. Okay? Well, you and I, amen, we have an ambassador who's been sent by the Father and who is now sending us. Amen? And so if we're going to walk in that ambassadorship, if we're going to walk in it, we've got to understand how the Father sent the Son. Can we do that? Can we look at that this morning? How did the Father send the Son? First thing we see here is with his pleasure. With his pleasure. Jesus, when all the people were baptized, when Jesus also has been baptized and was praying. This is Luke 3. The heavens were opened. The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. A voice from heaven came. You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. The Father was pleased with the Son. Now ask yourself, what had the Son done? Had he risen a people from the dead? Had he healed a few folks? Had he cast out some demons? Had he gathered some big crowds and fed lots of people? Had he called some disciples? No, 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 no. But because before Jesus was sent on mission, he received the Father's pleasure. Do you believe this morning that you are walking in the pleasure of God? That God's pleased with you? Not because of what you've done, not because of what you bring to the table. Look, I've seen your resume. I've seen all you've done. I'm pleased with you. No, no, no. You haven't done anything, and God's pleased with you. And you might ask yourself, Blake, that's nice. You don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know my guilty conscience this morning. You don't know the shame I walked in here with. And you're right, I don't. And that's so important we hit on this last week is that in Christ, the guilt and the shame that deserved to be on you was put on Jesus. There is nothing more shameful than being stripped naked in front of your people and your family and hung up from the world to see, beaten, bruised. Christ was done that for you. The only reason we can receive the pleasure of God is because that we are in Christ. Before the foundation of the world, God chose you in him. He predestined you that you would be conformed to the image of his Son, that you would be holy and blameless before him. He chose you. You are an object of his pleasure. He's pleased with you. Now, I can tell you that. I can even shout that at you. I can dance up here. But you have to receive his pleasure. And that's hard for some of us. It's hard for me. How can we receive his pleasure this morning? One, we have to receive it by faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God, because you must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must believe that he's a good God and that you have access to this God by his Spirit, by the cross, and then when you lean in, he's going to lean back. Sometimes he leans in when you're not leaning, to be honest. I've been running strong in the other direction, and he has tracked me down and horse collared me from behind. Because he's good. Because he's pleased with you this morning. Part of us receiving the pleasure of God is, why that's trouble, is that we live in sin. And what's interesting is, obviously, God hates sin. But Blake, you just said God loves. Yeah. Love and hate are not opposite, actually. Hate is born out of love. Because you do something to my kids, right? You say something rude to my wife, we're going to have problems. I don't dislike what you said because I don't love my wife. I love her, therefore I dislike what you said. And so the hatred of God for sin is rooted in his love for you. He loves you, and therefore he hates sin, because sin destroys you and those around you. Do we understand that this morning? So, we can't receive, and so here's the thing about sin. We can't receive the pleasure of God because we're holding on to sin. Paul talks about this to Timothy. He said, there are some who oppose the gospel, their consciences are seared like a hot iron. Being seared, it means you get third-degree burns, you lose sensitivity. God has asked you, stop doing this. This is hurting you. And you continue to do it. You continue to put your hand in the fire. And you wonder why you can't feel. It's not that God's not loving you. The same sensitivity you sense, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you sense that this is evil, is the same faculties that receive the love of God. And the reason is not because God's not loving you, it's because you can't feel his love. Now, can God heal that? Of course. So our sin doesn't keep God's love from radiating like the sun towards us. Our sin keeps us from experiencing that love. And so when we are sent from heaven, we must walk with his pleasure. We must receive his pleasure. I've quoted this quote before numerous times, and I'm going to keep saying it, praise the Lord. And this is from Timothy Keller's book, The Meaning of Marriage. He says this, marriage has the power to set the course of your life as a whole. If your marriage is strong, even all the circumstances in your life around you are filled with trouble and weakness, it won't matter. You will be able to move out in the world in strength. And so if our marriages are strong, hell may be outside the door, but we can walk with strength into it. Because there's a partnership that I know someone's for me. I know someone's with me. You understand? Now, let's talk about marriage. How much more the living God, who has wed himself to you? You are the bride of Christ. He says, I will go to death, hell, and the grave for you. I will commit to you. And therefore, we can walk out in the world in strength. Praise God. He is for you. He is pleased with you. Another way, and so why can't we, if you're having trouble experiencing the pleasure of God, maybe you're holding on to sin, and you need to let that down. That's called repentance. The Bible says you need to repent of your sin, because your sin is hurting you and others, and it's inhibiting you receiving his pleasure. Another way to receive the pleasure of God, I'm going to spend some time on this first point. I hope y'all know we're going to speed through the other ones, but listen. is encounters with the Spirit of God. It's interesting that when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit came on him. And then he heard the Father, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Because the Spirit and the pleasure and the love of God walk together. I have never felt more loved than under the power of the Holy Spirit. I've never felt more known and adhered to than when he fell on me in power. There are encounters with the Spirit of God. There are encounters with God's Spirit. And my encouragement to you is ask for it. If you've never encountered the Spirit of God, ask God, fill me with your Spirit. Well, I believe in the Scriptures. Yeah. Jesus said, ask for the Spirit. I don't know how much clearer we can get. Ask for the Spirit, praise God. Paul said, be filled with the Spirit on all occasions. Not like 25%. Like overflowing. You think you can house enough of God in your little puny body? Some of us are bigger than others, but look, let me help you. He can overflow, praise the Lord. Listen to this in Paul to the Romans. He says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. This isn't a theological statement. This is an experiential statement. God's love is poured out into your hearts that you might encounter his love. How? Through what? Through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Famous mathematician and one of the greatest minds of the 17th century was a man by the name of Blaise Pascal. You may have heard of his wager, Pascal's wager, which was, hey, if God is not real and I devote my life to him, I may lose some things. But if God is real and I refuse to devote my life to him, boy, there's a lot to be wagered there. And so that was Pascal's wager. He was rational. He was very scientific. He was brilliant. Much about probability. We've built on him. Brilliant. Well, something happened in his life where he had an encounter with the Spirit of God. Happened in 1654. He called it the memorial. And it so impacted his life that he wrote it down, handwritten in a note, and sewed it on the inside of his jacket. And every time he got a new jacket, he rewrote it and sewed it in there so that when he would remember this encounter with the Spirit. And all the historians and those who study life realized that there was a dynamic shift from his work before and his work after. It radically changed his life. This is what he said. This is what the memorial said, a literal translation. Fire. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not of the philosophers and scholars. Certainty, feeling, joy, peace. God of Jesus Christ, my God and your God. Your God will be my God. Forgetfulness of the world and everything except God. He is found only by the ways taught in the gospel, greatness of the human soul. Righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. Joy, 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 tears of joy. I have separated myself from him. My God, will you abandon me? Let me not be separated from him forever. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus Christ, I have separated myself from him. I fled, denied him, crucified him. Let me never be separated from him. He is served only by the ways taught in the gospel. Renunciation, total and sweet, complete submission to Jesus Christ and to my director. Eternally enjoy for a day's exercise on the earth. I will not forget your word. Amen. You can tell this is not a man sitting down. God, lovely and sweet. This is a man who's encountered God. Fire, joy. You look at his writings. This is weird. because he had an encounter with the living God. And it shifted him. If we're going to walk in the mission of God, if we're going to be a part of what God's doing, we must know him and his pleasure. Number two, with his power. Jesus was baptized in Luke 3 and Luke 4. He picked up the scroll of Isaiah in the tabernacle. And he said this in the synagogue. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And Jesus goes on, and Luke would recount this. He says he walked in the power of the Spirit. And it's amazing to me, if Jesus just walked around as the Son of God in all his glory and power, why this emphasis of the Spirit? Because he's trying to impart something. He's trying to open our eyes to something that God is partnering with us by the Spirit of God. And just like Jesus walked in the power of God, we have access to power by the Spirit. The Bible says that the manifestations of the Spirit are given for the common good. Now, that doesn't mean every one of us is going to be a healer. Every one of us is going to be a discerner of spirits. Every one of us is going to walk in miracles and signs of wonders. But look, I'm not a mechanic, but I've fixed a car before. I'm not a doctor, but I've been on the internet. Praise the Lord. No, I'm not a doctor, but I'm like, okay, I've got a fever. I probably should rest. I mean, there's some access to God's power. Just because you don't have the gift of healing doesn't mean you don't know the God who heals. Just because you don't have this particular gift, well, I'm not an evangelist. Has Jesus changed your life? Tell somebody. Right? And so we walk in not just the pleasure of God, but the Spirit of God who walks in power. Are you going to walk in the power that Jesus walked in? No. Anybody walked on water in here? If you have, like, come see me after. No, but there is power available. And if you cannot pick up your Bible and read through the New Testament and not see signs, wonders, healings, miracles, visions, tongues, prophecy, it is the mark of the church. And God help us that we have begin to create theologies that limit God's power because we're not walking in it. And then we wonder why we're not walking in it. Now, have people abused? Of course. People abuse vehicles every day. People abuse lots of things with power. We don't write, oh, no more cars. Right? Doctors have abused stuff. We don't say, no more doctors. We say, look, it's not about abuse and misuse. It's about right use. And then we go to the scripture to see how God uses it. Amen? And to align our hearts to his purposes. But to walk in his power. And this is so important because Jesus looked at his disciples and he said this. He had died on the cross, risen from the dead. He hadn't ascended yet. He gathers with his disciples. He said this, and behold, I am sending you. Sending, right? We're talking about that. How did the Father send Jesus? How is Jesus sending us? I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. There's a power available to the people of God by the Spirit of God. Ask for it. It's for his purpose and his glory, not for your fame. Believe me, if you want it for your glory, he won't give it to you. You know what I'm saying? If it's about you, I'm good. And so, but if we want it for his glory, he's like, man, I am pleased to pour out my Spirit. Next we see in Luke 4, he says, with his purpose. With his purpose, Jesus began to walk in power. People began to show up at his door that night right before the sun went down. And they said, all right, we got a healing line. And they started coming through. And then when everybody had been healed, Jesus was exhausted. He went to bed. He woke up early the next morning. He goes out, it says, into the wilderness. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place, and the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. It's amazing that we have ideas of what God should be doing, right? And we get upset when he don't do it our way. Here's Jesus. He's the one healing everybody. He's like, all right, Jesus, you need to stay here. No, I got things to do. I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. I was sent for this purpose, and he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This marks that Jesus was not swayed by fads. He wasn't swayed by popularity. He had purpose. I must make disciples. I must preach this gospel to all the cities. I've got something to do. This is what I love about these commitments we make, is because we need help. New Year's resolutions, we need help. And God has given of his spirit so that we might get back on track. Because when I start to deviate, God's like, what you doing? Why are we over here? I ask you to do that. Oh, Lord, you're right. Forgive me. I repent. I'm back in his purpose. Now, we all have a purpose. We all have the purpose of God to make disciples in all nations for his glory. And then the end will come. And so this is the heart of God. And God has given you individualized purposes. Amen. That you, God has called you maybe a doctor. God has called you a stay-at-home mom. God has called you a lawyer. God has called you an educator. Great. And make disciples as you do it. Right? And do that for the glory of God and work out the gospel in your calling. And this is the mission of God. It's not either or. Well, those people make disciples and I educate. No. We make disciples because Jesus has called us all to be a part of his great commission. And you educate, praise the Lord. And do it for the glory of God. And do it by the Spirit of God. And do it with his lenses on your eyes and the mission of God in your heart. And revolutionize how we educate. And that's why even when our victory weekend, we take time to say, hey, yes, you're a son of God. Yes, you're a daughter of God. But how has God wired you specifically? We take time to listen to the Holy Spirit on that because he wants to give you purpose. Do you take time to listen to God's Spirit? Maybe you didn't know God was pleased with you today. How can you experience that if you don't slow down, if you don't turn off your phone, if you don't put it on do not disturb? How can you walk in the pleasure of God if you haven't slowed down to hear that he's pleased with you? How do you know you've veered off of his purpose unless you slow down to say, Lord, am I in your purpose? And then sit there. Until all the voices fade away. Sometimes that takes time. Well, I got things to do. Well, whose purpose are you living for? You might be doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. But it helps when you know he's with you. Luke chapter 5, he says this, not only are we called in his pleasure and his power and his purpose, but we're called in his people. It's amazing. Jesus didn't need the disciples. In fact, every time I read, they were slowing stuff down. He's like, look, I'm going to go up here on the mountain to pray. Y'all go paddle against the wind. I'll be there in a minute, you know. So just paddle against the wind. Y'all are wearing me out. Y'all need to feel what I've been feeling. Go paddle. And then he's just walking through the storm on the water. And they're like, oh, a ghost. He's like, oh. Right? I mean, Jesus didn't need them to do anything. And yet, he was very intentional about pulling them in. Because the mission of God requires the people of God. It's relational. If our initial passage that Alexis read is, the Father sends the Son and I'm sending you. Then he breathed on them. I'm going to tell you right now, you be breathing on me, we better be close. Don't be breathing on me. I don't know you that well. I don't even like people breathing on me who I do know well. Y'all know? I'm like, y'all need, right here. I need to take this. Then you can breathe on me, right? So this is intimacy. This is relationship. Yes, it would be kind of a foretaste. Look, the Spirit will come like wind. It was kind of the Pentecost kind of precursor. Yeah, I get all that. But it was also intimate. It's relational. And when God calls us to walk according to his purpose, he calls us to walk together. Who do you know close enough, you know when their breath stinks? Right? They be breathing on you like, bro, you need some help. You need some help, bro. Let me help you. Like, who do you know that intimate? Because here's the reality. All of us have moments where our breath stinks. And so, who knows you that well to tell you? Because there was this moment where Cain and Abel, Cain had hated Abel in his heart. And God came up to him and he was like, what's wrong? Why are you plotting? What's wrong with you? And so, who do you know who can just look in your eyes and be like, you ain't doing well, are you? No, I'm doing good. I'm fine. You lie. Come over here and confess your sin. You know, confess your thoughts so you don't sin. Confess the temptation. Just bring it out here in the light so we can walk together. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Then you will have fellowship with each other. Not God. God, he's going to fellowship with you. But if you don't walk in the light, I'm all lonely. Nobody knows you. You ain't been real with anybody. Now, that don't mean be real with everybody on social media. Let me just say that. I ain't talking about that. Less of that. Right? More of like one-on-one, I'm struggling. Not more of, I just want everyone to know. Not everybody needs to know all that. Okay? But somebody needs to know how you're doing. And we're called to walk with his people. This is amazing. Jesus did not need one disciple. He didn't need him. But he pulled him in because he's showing us something. It's got to be relational. It's got that. Look, I love good preaching. I love filling the room. I love the music and the sound. I love all that. But that is not what's changing the world. It's the relationships. Us working out the gospel together. Us offending each other and then saying we're sorry. Us owning our sin. Us being honest. That is a sign and a wonder, y'all. When you walk into a community like that, you're like, yeah, I need some of this because I got some stuff to bring to light. It looks like everybody else does too. And so I'm glad to be here. Because we're not just going to all pat each other back and say, it's okay. We're going to, it's okay. Now get up and cut that off. Right? That's the community of faith with each other. Amen. That's why this life group, that's why we do this life group launch twice a year, because we know, look, it cannot be done by yourself. It cannot be done. You have to have relationships. And I've had some people talk to me recently, like, y'all don't have evening groups, or y'all don't, we don't, look, we're not 5,000 people in here. This is not a smorgasbord. So if you see that your time slot for community isn't there, then create one. Get through the growth track. And we're going to equip you. We're going to walk with you to be there to do it. We do need more communities of faith. But somebody's got to step up, amen, with his people. Finally, with his presence. And Jesus said to them, John 8:28, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, Jesus talking about himself, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me, and he sent me, and he who sent me is with me. This seems like a strange response. They're like, look, Jesus, where are you getting all this authority? He's like, look, he who sent me, I'm not on my own. I'm only telling you what the Father's telling me. And look, he's with me. He's with me. Do you walk in and understand and receive the presence of the Holy Spirit with you? That's been my faith confession this last probably year. God is with me. God is with me. God is with me. That's a faith declaration because it's true. But sometimes my heart doesn't want to believe. So I tell it, hey, heart, God is with me. I just sit and just receive that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. God is with me. And then I say it till I believe it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I didn't make that up. You're handsome. Now, I think I'm good looking. But I don't care how much I tell myself in the mirror I'm good looking. It ain't, you know, it is what it is. I got many more things to say about this, but you cannot hear them now. But the reality is, I'm speaking the very words of God. I am with you. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, look, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're about to do that. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. We got a growth track going on right after church. We're doing the Great Commission. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Here's the comfort. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. What happens when the Father sends us as he did the Son? He sends us with his pleasure. When we remember that we've been sent with his pleasure, we will not engage in mission out of anxiety or fear or proving ourselves, but rather work with joy because we know that God is pleased with us already. Listen to that. When you know that you please God, you engage in the mission not to prove yourself. That's some high anxiety, brother. I can tell you, I've been up here with that. Trying to be pleased with me, God. Let me preach real good. It's a disaster. Okay? But when you walk in the pleasure of God, then you get to minister out of the joy of a father. Am I going to do it perfectly? No. And I can receive correction because I know that my identity is not rooted in my performance. It's rooted in heaven, in Christ. When we remember that we've been sent with his power, we are not only attempt or ask for things that are humanly possible, we will believe that with God all things are possible. And miracles are always within his reach. You walk with his power. It's not your power, praise God. It's not my power, it's his power. When we remember that we've been sent with his purpose, we will not be distracted by success or fads because God has given us a clear focus and a scope of mission. Make disciples of all nations. Fulfill your purpose in Christ by the Spirit. When you remember that we've been sent with his people, we will not attempt to go on mission alone, but rather embrace the relationships God has given us for our good and for the good of others. When we remember we've been sent with his presence, we live as though we are never alone, because we're not. We walk with confidence and we draw from deep and present relationships. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning that we've been sent by the Father. That if anyone is in Christ this morning, a son or a daughter, that God is sending you by his Spirit. You're not alone. He's coming with power and purpose and presence and his people. He's coming. He is with you. As I was praying about this morning, there are some of us in this room who could say this honestly, Blake, I really have a tough time receiving God's pleasure over my life. Like, I know it's true intellectually, but I struggle to believe it and experience it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to raise your hand, because I want to pray for you. I want to ask the Holy Spirit that he might minister to you this morning. Hands all over this room. Father, thank you for your sons and daughters. Maybe it was a rough upbringing, or maybe just an imperfect one that hinders us from receiving the Father's pleasure. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you right now, by the Spirit of God, that these individuals with their hands raised would receive the Spirit of God. A fresh encounter, a fresh touch. If you have your hand raised this morning, I just want out of your own mouth, say, Father, send me your Spirit. A fresh outpouring. A fresh touch. Some of you might say, I've got a calloused heart this morning, Blake. Ask God to soften your heart. If he can turn a heart of stone into a heart of flesh, he can turn a calloused heart into smooth skin. Ask him. He's already pleased with you. Ask him. God, fill me with your Spirit. Heal my heart. And now I want you to take a step further. I want you to make a faith confession. My Father is pleased with me. Say it out of your own mouth. My Father is pleased with me. I receive his pleasure. Just wait on God's Spirit. Father, I ask that you would not just meet us in this place. Meet us in our homes. Meet us on campus when we gather. Meet us in our dorm rooms. Lord, I pray for this church that we would be as individuals and as a body on the mission of God. Lord, if we've been distracted, if we've been moved aside, if we've been following the wrong path, Lord, that you would, by your Spirit, woo us back into the purpose of God. If you're in here this morning and said, Blake, I've been distracted and moved away from God's purpose, and I want to repent. I want to realign this morning. I want to live on purpose for God. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Father, you see these hands, Lord, as a declaration, Lord, we repent. We repent, Lord. We have wonders. We want to live on purpose. We want to live in your presence, in your power, with your people, with your pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand this morning? If you know that you're not right with God this morning and you want to commit your life to Christ, I'm going to be up here afterwards. I'd love to pray for you and give you some resources in that. I'm going to pass this off to Pastor James. He's going to lead us in baptism. We've got Disciple Step immediately following this. It's a class. It's a first part of our growth track. We are passionate about helping people follow Jesus. And if you're new here or you're kind of stepping back into your faith or you need help following Jesus, please join us. It doesn't matter if you didn't sign up. We're going to be in the Legacy Room about 10 minutes after the service. We'd love to see you then. Pastor James.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Blake. Wasn't that good? Amen. Amen. If you are a candidate for baptism, I want to invite you now to the very front row here in front of the baptismal pool. And as you're making your way, you can come have a seat and get yourself ready to step into the water. And just as a quick reminder, right, baptism is not the means of salvation, right? It's the declaration publicly what we have done in our hearts, what Christ has done in our hearts, right? It's a profession of faith and Christ alone that saves us, right? Not the water from Greenville Utilities. Amen. Okay. So we have this moment here. We try to do it regularly as an opportunity for those who have said yes to Jesus and are going to be a follower of his to be able to celebrate with them in baptism. So we have two people today getting baptized, Jalen and Gloria. So yeah, y'all can clap for them. Jalen, we'll get started with you. Step on in. Step on right on in. There you go. All the way, brother. Have a seat, right? Step all the way down. And then have a seat. All right, Jalen. This is Jalen Freeman, by the way. Proud of this young man taking this step. So, Jalen, do you believe that Jesus lived on the earth, that he went to the cross for your sins, that he died and rose on the third day, declaring himself to be the Son of God?
Yes.
And have you put your faith in Christ alone for your salvation?
Yes.
And are you prepared to follow Jesus all the days of your life?
Yes.
By your own profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Any other family or friends here that want to be with us as we pray for Jalen? Want to come forward? This son of yours, we thank you for Jalen's life, Lord. Lord, we just pray for your continued equipping, guidance. Lord, you've been wooing him, chasing after him. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that he can just continue to surrender, Lord, yield to what the Spirit is saying. Lord, that you would open up the scriptures to him in greater measure, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would ignite a fire, Lord. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for his life. And here's the kind of the picture I saw for you last night. I saw a well, and what it signified was, you know, obviously a well is a place that we draw from. And I think there's and how you're wired, right? I think you are a person that people can draw from, and I think God is going to continue. As you become wise in the scriptures, that you're going to be a place that people can draw from in terms of insight and understanding of the Word of God. So, Jesus, I thank you for Jalen's life. We plead the blood of Christ over him. Amen.
Just as we were praying for you, this is not an insignificant thing for you. It's not something you do lightly or would ever be pressured into. This is something that you wanted to do. And I see you as one who doesn't, is not easily moved by others. Many people might push on you or try to influence you, and you're like, I'm good. I'm good. And so I do see that the Lord has made you secure and strong in your own convictions. And here's a little caveat I want to say is that be unmoved by the world, but moved gently, be easily moved by the Spirit. And so though there's this strength about you, there's this unmovable nature about you that is from the Lord, don't use that against the Lord. Let be sensitive to him. And he might even just give you an eye and you know, oh, I gotta go. And so, Lord, I thank you that you've given Jalen, Lord, a sensitivity to the Spirit. And, Lord, he is not moved by people and crowds, Lord, but he would be moved by you. And he would find himself not simply among folks, but leading many as he follows you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, next up is Gloria. I'm going to pass the mic here to Sarah to lead this moment.
All right, go ahead and hop up. Jesus came and died for your sins and rose on the third day. And have you put your faith and trust in Jesus alone for your salvation? And are you willing to follow him for the rest of your life? All right. Well, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we will baptize you.
Jesus, we thank you for a glorious life. Thank you, Lord, for the plans you have for her, Lord, that there is a future and a hope for her. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, what you're going to do in her, Lord, on behalf of others. Kind of what I saw for you is that I think there's already, just in how you're wired and shaped, how God has made you, just you're kind of a natural leader. Not afraid to express your viewpoints and how you feel and your sentiments, and there's a sharpening that's going to come by the Spirit to be used for God's kingdom and helping others come out of darkness into his light. So just be in a place of receiving from the Lord in this season what he wants to speak to you, what you're going to glean from the scriptures. Trust his hand as he's opened up the doors for you to be able to help others come to faith. So Jesus, we thank you for Gloria's life. Lord, would you guard her from the evil one, Lord? Guard her mind, Lord. And Lord, just help her, Lord, to be sensitive to the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Gloria, as we were just praying, I just see the Bible says that you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good things, which means he's working on you. And what he started before today, but today was a big piece. And I just see you in his hands as a master builder with tools. He is shaping and working and cutting and creating something beautiful for his glory. And I believe, I'm just going to even prophesy, you're going to look up in a year from now and be like, I don't even know who this person is. I am so different because of what Jesus has done for me. And so, Lord, we seal the work of the Spirit in this, your daughter, that what you started in her, you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In your holy name, amen.
All right. right, God is good. Amen. Isn't that great? All right, you can stand to your feet as we get ready to dismiss. Just a reminder again, Disciple Step is in the Legacy Room. If you need prayer, we'll have our prayer team. The altars will be open. Jesus, thank you for all that we've seen and heard today. Lord, we continue to submit ourselves to you. Lord, help us to yield to what the Spirit is saying as we go throughout today and the rest of this week. If you agree with that, say amen. You are dismissed. Have a great rest of your Sunday.